Because if you don't, then we won't be able to entertain the masses. You're listening to MLVC, the Madonna podcast, your place for all things Madonna, Louise, Veronica Ciccone. I am your unofficial celebration tour correspondent, Stefan. Today on the show, we have Juan Carlos, who attended every single show in Mexico City for Madonna's celebration tour. Welcome to the show, Juan Carlos.
Thank you so much, Stefan. This is so exciting for me.
Well, and you... I mean, you surprised me. We were at the Austin show, and you found us. What was it, outside or inside?
We were inside the venue. Inside the
Oh, that's right. Yes. Liberty and I were stuffing our face with pizza, and we heard a little "excuse me," and it was Juan Carlos, and that's so. It was a pleasure to be able to meet you in person. That's what's so fun about the tour is like getting to actually like. You know, people leave messages all the time, and then there you are in person.
You gave us all the clues. You had the outfit. It was easy to it was easy to find you in Austin.
Yeah, it's almost like I had a Madonna spotlight following me around. You know,
there you go.
It was a very loud suit. I honestly, by the time we got to Austin, I was like so over wearing that suit that I was like, oh, I don't want to wear this again. Like, I just wanted to wear something different, but I was like, nope, I got to do it.
But that was the thing, that even though maybe you were over it, we were looking for it.
Well, and hey, it helped, you know, it got Bob's attention, and that was a good thing. Real quick, speaking of outfits, as you can see, for those of you watching, I am wearing my Desperately Seeking Susan replica jacket that I wore to meet Rosanna Arquette.
Please show us the back.
Okay, yeah, hold on. Let me turn around. Oh, I can't. Hold on. I have a headset on, and I need to turn around and take the headset off first.
That is so cool. That is the coolest jacket ever.
Yes, sorry for the technical difficulties. I forgot this headset was plugged in. I wanted to give a shout out to Candace Phelan, who crafted this beautiful jacket. It's a replica of Madonna's Desperately Seeking Susan jacket. I got to wear it to meet Rosanna Arquette, who obviously is Madonna's co-star in Desperately Seeking Susan. Rosanna was doing a meet and greet at the Chiller Theater in North New Jersey this weekend. And I was like, me and one of my friends were like, yeah, we'll drive to New Jersey to go meet Rosanna Arquette from Desperately Seeking Susan. So I had this jacket, and everyone loved it. Rosanna loved it. The people in attendance loved it. So, for those who have been asking, yes, I did invite Rosanna Arquette to be a guest on the podcast. The ball is in her court, though. It's not up to me. Obviously, I'd love to have her on the show. Hopefully, she will feel kind enough to want to come on the show, because she was like, oh, my God, your jacket's amazing. And this, that. She was very, very sweet. So
it would be awesome. Awesome, yeah. To hear from her.
It would. But yeah, thanks, Candace. You did an amazing job on the jacket. I mean, it's like it's custom fit. And obviously, it's not exactly like the jacket, but it's pretty darn close. You know, I mean, it's a little more gold, I think, sometimes, depends on the light. It's a little more gold than green. I always thought the jacket was a darker green, but it's flashy and lovely. And it's definitely not a daytime jacket. This is an evening going out jacket.
But it is definitely a one of a kind thing for you. So it's amazing.
Yeah, this was what I was like, oh, if I'd had this in time, would I have worn this to the celebration tour? And I was like, nah, that'd be the suit. Anyway, let's get down to business. Let's talk about, so you had the auspicious honor of attending all five nights.
I did.
Tell us about Mexico City.
Mexico City is a great venue. It really is. I had the opportunity to go to the U.S. to see the show six times in Brooklyn, in Chicago, and in Austin. I was there for opening night for the United States.
Uh-huh.
Crowds are great. They are. But there is something that I believe I have a theory about what goes on with concerts in the U.S. In some way, U.S. people take them for granted. We know, you know, that if Madonna is doing a tour, she will be, if not in your country, in your city, in your state, it's easy to go to a concert. And if you don't catch Madonna, you can catch any of the big names. Whereas here in Mexico, as in many other countries that are not necessarily like France or the UK, mm-hmm. we don't take for granted that artists, especially this big, will come to Mexico. Mm-hmm. Just as a little example, Beyonce has never come to Mexico ever. Right. Or if she has, it was once. I'm not even sure because I'm not a fan. Pink has never come to Mexico City. Things like this. Madonna has come, but she has only come to during certain tours.
Mm-hmm.
And effectively for a celebration tour, we could have never imagined that we would get 5 dates.
Yeah.
And whereas in the US, people cheered and people were excited. Mexico City people roared.
Yeah.
It was deafening. The moment that in every single one of the 5 nights, the moment Nothing Really Matters started, the moment there was a tiny little glimpse of her on stage, the roar that came out of that venue of Palacio de los Deportes, the sports palace. It's a roar. It's a huge, huge ovation of love, the energy. And what made it so incredible is that Madonna felt it. She yeah. clearly felt it and responded in such an energetic and heartfelt way. She was so grateful and she was so loving and she was having a blast. Mm-hmm. I believe, along the 5 shows, there were 2 basic things that were so noticeable in her. One of them was how honestly moved she was at times. On the very first concert, she cried.
Yeah.
She couldn't believe when everybody just started chanting her name, something that happened in every single one of the shows. In all 5, Mexicans just started chanting her name again and again. On the 4th night, it was on the 3rd night, there was one moment when she was not 100% convinced of the ovation she got. So she actually called out to the audience, and the audience just started, again, roaring. That's the word. And she just started egging it on. She started asking for more. She made the heart sign, and people just went crazy. And she was just eating it up and loving each second of it. But on the other side, she was having fun. She was learning all these curse words in Spanish. So suddenly, I mean, one of the most fun moments was when she's in Human Nature and she's being harassed and attacked by the police. And suddenly she goes and she says, chinga tu madre, which is the equivalent of fuck you in Spanish. It was so incredibly hilarious. Night 5, the Vogue ballroom guest was Salma Hayek, and they clearly spoke before the show. Mm-hmm. They, because in one moment when Salma just said 3, 2, 1, and they both chanted, one of our great, let's say, cheers in Mexico, which is Viva Mexico, cabrones. Uh-huh. Which would be the equivalent of Viva Mexico, motherfuckers.
Uh-huh.
It was, and she was having such fun. She had a huge smile all the time. So I believe that the energy, that's what happened with Mexico City.
Yeah, when I was seeing videos of the response from the crowd there, I thought it made me so happy and glad that she, you know, after all this time, after all these shows, after 80 performances, to be given a gift like that this welcoming, loving adoration and energy, just helping to lift her up a little bit more, to help give her that final send off. You know, like, I'm so happy that she chose to end it in Mexico, because I mean, so obviously we know we have one more show, but Mexico was technically the official end. From what I've heard, the Rio show is not being looked at as an official tour date. It's more of like a one-off. It's like a one-off performance. So in the tour's mind, like the crew and the cast, they sort of finished the official tour. Now this is just like a special one-off performance. But I'm happy that she got that. And I think I can't wait to see the footage for the tour film, because that's, you know, they were filming in Mexico for the tour film. And I think, you know, I mean, hopefully it comes out on streaming. I'm hoping it comes out on streaming within
a month. I hope it comes so quickly.
Like, I hope it's quick. I hope it, you know, it's like Rio, and then we get like 2 weeks later, it's like, and now.
Guess what? You can go to your cinema near you. Please, let's get it on.
Exactly.
Let's get it on big screens. Right.
I do have to temper my expectations, because I do know, obviously, they want marketing to be able to promote the, you know, if it's in a theater. So, and they have to edit the thing. You know, I'm sure Jonas is already busy looking at footage and trying to edit. If Jonas Åkerlund is the person who's officially editing it, directing it.
I did have a chance to see him. He was walking around the venue.
So then
he was there.
So allegedly Jonas Åkerlund is the official director. I'm hoping that they're already at work on putting that together. But I'm assuming that her marketing team is going to want a little bit of lead time to advertise that it's going to be in the theaters, get the word out. And then I'm sure there's got to be some sort of streaming deal. And if it's on a streamer, they're obviously going to want a little bit of promotional time as well to be able to properly secure.
To build it up.
Yeah. So
it was interesting talking about the filming of the show, because after watching it for 4 nights and listening to the kind of comments, the speeches that Madonna was giving, during the first 4 nights, it was so clear that she was addressing Mexico. And she was talking about us, and she was talking about the country. Mm-hmm. She was sharing some really heartfelt memories about her relationship to Frida Kahlo, how she would come and fly to Mexico during the AIDS epidemic to get drugs, to get medicine, which was not available in the US. Mm-hmm. She talked a lot to Mexicans and played a lot with the language, a lot, first 4 concerts. Final night, it was very, very, very honest, her speech, but it was, let's say, a much less local speech.
A little bit more universal.
I got the idea that she was giving a speech not to Mexico, to the world. Mm-hmm. Her final speech moved me to tears so much. It was so, so honest, everything that she said. It was so beautiful the way she spoke about death. She made a huge speech about how death has followed her all of her life. Mm. From her mother's death to all the people she lost to AIDS, all the stars from her generation who have passed on. And she even asked herself, like, she asked, why am I still alive? Why am I still here?
Yeah.
And it was, and she started saying how she effectively was still here to carry on with her own mission of spreading life, spreading joy, but also helping the less fortunate, helping the queer community. She spoke so beautifully about that. And then she said, like, why am I among or in the middle of all this death? Why are we here? Why are we in a celebration? And that is precisely why, because what we are celebrating here, the celebration tour, is a celebration of life. Mm. It was so beautiful. But it was a much more universal message.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, I mean, if they're looking to put something out on streaming. They don't want it so
local,
just to Mexico. But that's exciting. I'm excited to see it. I think it's going to be great. I do hope that there's a smattering of documentary footage that we get along with it. I'd love some behind the scenes stuff. I just think it would just be, I mean, again, I've said this many times before and I will keep saying it. I would love a third proper documentary from her, you know, to give us a proper tour film with all the performances, but then give me a documentary too. I just think it would be great at this time in her life. I feel like it would be fascinating to see.
I believe that right now, in this moment of her life and of her career, I think that she has so much to tell us. And precisely under the umbrella of celebration and a celebration of 40 years, that documentary would be gold. It would be amazing to see her preparing this celebration, preparing the narrative of the concert, the narrative. How did they get to this arc that they create, and effectively saying, okay, we're not doing a concert.
Mm-hmm.
This is
And that's the thing too. Like, I don't even like, I mean, as much as I would love to see like behind the scenes of the show when she's on the road, I think the more fascinating thing would be like the preparation to get the tour on the road, because if they were filming that, I mean, her whole hospitalization would factor into that. And then the triumphant recovery and then back to it. Like, I just think like that would be such a cinematic story. You know, it would be so beautiful to see that real Madonna. And and as we know with Truth or Dare, you know, she let them film everything. And I think if she would be that bold and brave today to allow a camera crew to follow her around and show, you know, all the offstage stuff, that it would be amazing.
I think it would be a great opportunity to, again, once more, emphasize the point that she's not a singer, she's not a pop star, she's not, she's a star. No, she's an icon, and more than anything, an artist. What she's presenting and what she created, that artistic process to create this masterpiece of art, not music, not a show, art. I think a documentary like that would definitely cement her position as an artist, something much more than a singer, a dancer.
Yeah.
65-year-old woman, like everybody just loves to remind everyone.
Yeah.
No, so I think it would be amazing.
Speaking of the show, so I don't know if anyone, if any of y'all follow, there's the one camera guy, I think his name is Tim, who has, he went viral on the internet because he was seen singing along to all of her songs while he was recording her, you know, he like handles the one crane, I think, during the show. Well, he had posted, I guess to like test the screens for Live to Tell, they must have instead of showing all of the faces that they show during the actual song, they like jokingly put together all the cast and crew they put their photos up so that they could like have something to test at, he posted video of it showing he just videotaped him as all the screens were coming up and down and all the different faces from the crew were popping up.
Oh, God.
And you could hear they were playing the backing track of Live to Tell along with it. So he apparently wasn't supposed to post that because he took it down. However, before he took it down, I was listening to it. I'm like, this is new vocals by Madonna. Like it wasn't that they just took the vocals from 1986 Live to Tell and used that as her backing track for her to sing to. She re-sang that. So if you remember when Madonna would post pictures of when they were getting the tour up and running or whatnot, there was a picture of her with Stuart Price. And she was sitting in front of a little makeshift recording booth. I call it booth, but it was like, it was just like a wall, like she was sitting at a table with a little makeshift wall in front of her with her headset on and a microphone or whatnot. And that's what she was working on. So she, I'm wondering if, I don't know if she re-sang her vocals for every single song, but she definitely did for Live to Tell. And so I was like, these are, and because there was no crowd in the video, because he was doing
it perfectly to her vocals.
Perfectly. Like it was like, it was pristine audio. And I was like, oh my God, she sounds amazing. So I screen grabbed a minute of it because I was like, I couldn't share his story because it was an Instagram story. It's not like a reel or anything. So I was like, well, let me screen grab it so I can share it. And I did. And I like, thanks, Tim, for posting this, blah, blah, blah. And that's how I found out that he wasn't supposed to post it, because he messaged me and he was like, can you please take this down? Because they told me that I have to take mine down. So I was like, oops. So I did him a solid. I took it down, but I was like, thank God I saved the minute footage, because, and again, my first thought I went to was, okay, if she re-sang vocals for some, if not all of the songs, can we please get the studio versions of those, of that? Like, even if it sounds like it's a demo song, it's not overproduced or whatever. I was like, she sounds so good on
it
this.
Would
like,
be incredible.
It's 2023 Madonna singing Live to Tell in a studio version. And I was like, because if you've listened to her 86 vocals, they have like, you can hear an a cappella version of her 86 version. They like strip the music out of the stems, whichever it is. And it's 86 Madonna, you know, like it's before she was professionally vocally
her voice
trained.
It was still a very thin.
Yeah, it's beautiful. But hearing the contrast between, because that's what I did. I like immediately heard it. I was like, am I hearing this properly? And so I like Googled Live to Tell a cappella. Somebody had it on YouTube. I listened to it and I was like, nope, see, her voice is different. It's different there. And so I went back to the version and I was like, this is fascinating to hear. Anyway, that's like, those are the things where I'm like, see, it is lost on all of those people who are working for her that are not her fans. So like, anyone who's working for her that's not like this diehard Madonna fan, I get it. She wants people who are going to work and not just sit there and be like, can you sing for us again, Madonna? I get it. I totally get it. However, those people are hearing things that we fans would be dying to hear. Like, we'd be dying to hear. Like, I want to hear every... I'd be like... Exactly. So that's why they're not hiring me, because they know that I wouldn't do jack shit if they were hiring me. Like, I'd be sitting there like, oh, this is the tour version for Holiday. Yeah. Exactly. I'd just be like, I'm sorry. Hold on. Just give me a second. I'll be right there.
I need to do what? I'm supposed to be doing what?
Yeah. Stefan, you're half an hour late. I'm sorry. I was listening to the tour vocals. I couldn't. Well, you're fired now. Oh, can I tell? Well, I've down. It would not be good. So let's talk. What were some of your favorite moments, not just from Mexico, but just from the tour overall?
I think that most of the fans have agreed that there is nothing to discuss in terms of the opening. The opening is just so incredibly powerful. It's her reigning over every single thing that she has ever done. That is just so incredible. Exactly. It's her becoming, owning her queendom.
Yes. Owning, totally.
It's like, you've called me queen for so long. Guess what? Now I am. Now I believe it. Now I'm going to say, yes, I am. And I'm not going to apologize. So here I am. Go. Love me. Show me the love.
It is total royal Madonna. I mean, like, she's done nods and winks to it before, you know, like the Sticky and Sweet tour, but she comes out on the throne and, you know, like the opening of the Super Bowl where they're sort of carrying her in, very Nefertiti, Queen Nefertiti. But, you know, like this was she's wearing a fucking crown, you know?
Exactly. So this is her owning her status as a queen, as an icon. And for me, that was such a huge highlight. Of course, it's everybody has mentioned Live to Tell. And I'm not even going to argue that, but for me, it's the transition. That transition, the moment that Holiday stops being a holiday, that moment, it is so incredibly powerful. That's, I believe that's the moment where every single person in the venue understands this is not a concert.
Correct. Oh, you're totally right. Like, I think you're right. I don't even need to restate that. You're 100%.
The moment that suddenly, wait, did somebody just die on stage?
Yeah. It stops being what I think if people were there and they had not seen the show or spoiled themselves for the show, like a Fairweather fan going to sort of appreciate Madonna because, oh my God, I've never seen her already. This is the show I need to go see her on. That's the time when they get it. They exactly. understand why people love seeing her on tour.
I actually had the opportunity, both in Chicago and in Mexico City, to convince a few friends to go watch the show who are not diehard fans. They are, as you said, Fairweather fans, expecting just to hear Material Girl.
Right.
And really, with both of them, I actually gave them like a crash course on what they were going to watch and how was the narrative to understand the different, not only the winks, but really to understand the story, mm-hmm. the arc. And effectively, all the friends that saw the show was like, okay, really, now I get it. Mm. And the thing that I have always said is to understand why Madonna is Madonna, see her live.
Yeah.
See her live and you will understand why she is and how she has gotten to where she is.
Yeah.
So for me, that moment that where Holiday becomes a lament, when one of the most joyous songs of Madonna becomes a requiem.
Mm.
And in this life begins, and we get Live to Tell, how can that not be anything else than art?
Yeah.
How can that not be conceived as anything else than art? For me, it's just beautiful.
Yeah.
And I have to say that I had I was very fortunate to be able to see the show from different points all over. And for example, night four, I was on the first front row, but from the seats, not on the floor, but first uh-huh. row center. Being able to see ray of light from a distance and right dead center. Oh my God, that lighting, you don't appreciate that from the floor. You don't appreciate. You really have to appreciate the Celebration Tour. If you have the chance to have seen it close to her, that's one experience. But seeing it from afar,
yeah.
and seeing those lights, same with Die Another Day,
mm-hmm.
it's such an incredibly powerful show and so full of moments, so full. And then, of course, for me, one of the biggest highlights for me was Erotica, because mm-hmm. I've always been. For me, Erotica.
Oh, Juan Carlos is showing us his Erotica yes. tattoo in the scribbly cursive of Erotica. Oh, you have also a Rebel Heart on your forearm.
I actually have over.
You have 11. all 14 album titles on
No,
your...
I have 11.
Get to work. Get to work.
I know. I have Erotica, Rebel Heart. This is my Madonna arm. Uh-huh. Over here, I have Madame X.
Oh, the Madame X. It's just the Madame X, like, logo of the M.
Yes. Actually, uh-huh. here it says, I'm Madame X.
Uh-huh. uh-huh.
And over here, I have Iconic.
Iconic.
Also in her writing.
Yep.
But all over my body, I've got tattoos, Madonna tattoos. I actually on my
thigh. Well, that's what she wants, you know, like.
Yeah. I have a Dita. Tattooed.
Put my name all over your body. Yeah, I get it. You know, that's what she's
absolutely. So yeah, for me, when she sang Erotica, and she sang Erotica with You Thrill Me, it was just so iconic for me. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. So many great moments in this show. Every single one of them, because every single part of the show is so well thought of. It is so meticulously planned. Each and every single song is a complete standalone number.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask you this, and I think I already know the answer. What song, other than the opening, was the biggest roar from the Mexican crowd? I feel like I already know what it is, but I'm wondering if you're going to say what I think.
Many people, I would love to say that probably Like Prayer. Definitely, okay. The moment that Like a Prayer begins, it's a huge, huge roar, huge. When she started singing Vogue, definitely. La Isla Bonita, I was expecting a lot of it. We did get a big one, but not that huge. Mm-hmm. But I would say definitely Into the Groove.
Oh.
Into the Groove, yes. Into the Groove. People went crazy with Into the Groove. I think those were the big ones. And also, yes, Die Another Day.
Oh, fascinating.
I was very surprised how people in Mexico City reacted to Die Another Day. I was like, okay. I wasn't aware that people loved it much.
Juan Carlos was so excited over... He was so excited over...
He
lost his headset.
Let me just...
he was reacting...
Headphones.
That's so funny.
I have a plan B.
You're very smart.
So just sorry.
It's okay. You whipped your head so quickly that the...
There we go.
Does that have a microphone as well?
Let me just change the audio settings.
It's a live show, folks. That's what happens during live, you know, like...
I'm here. I'm back. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Okay. There's no microphone in that, but you just have... You can hear me still, yes?
Yes. Yes. Let me just change it. Let me just make sure that I can... Can you hear me?
Oh, yes. Yeah, okay. That's much better now.
Perfect.
Much better. Okay, so, because I thought you were going to say that, from what I was able to garner on watching the videos, it looked like everyone was very happy she sang Hung Up.
Well, Hung Up, definitely. But the roar, the huge roar, which not only happened everywhere, which was the Wonder Woman...
Yeah.
Twirl. But the moment, the huge roar, definitely the moment when the Takesha version becomes the original and suddenly the lights go up and it becomes this huge disco celebration. You are absolutely right. And I stand corrected. Hung Up. Yes. Yes, it is true. But I still stand on Die Another Day that people went wild, but Hung Up, people went crazy.
It's fascinating to just hear like what people, like, cause you, I wouldn't assume Die Another Day would generate a huge crowd craze, but
no.
I'm glad to hear that.
It is interesting because you really don't know how each country connects with different songs. It's
right.
Super interesting.
Yeah, it is. So tell us about Selma. Salma Hayek was the last ballroom guest. She was all dressed and ready.
It was such a great guest. It is, one thing that was a little bit, that I find a little bit unnerving is that in Mexico, everybody had their own official version and their official list of guests. Everybody knew. Before she arrived to Mexico, everybody had already gotten the official list. Nobody got it. Nobody got a single guest right. And really, after the first two judges, people were like, okay, so we're not getting that really great guests.
No Ricky Martin, no,
or really some great drag Mexican queen, a great Mexican drag queen. That would have been great. But then on night three, when we got Wendy Guevara, I thought that was an incredible moment because Wendy Guevara, yes, she won a reality show here in Mexico, but she's a trans woman and she has actually helped a lot to visibilize and to open conversations about trans people and trans people rights and respect toward trans people. So I believe that that was in the spirit of the Vogue guest. Night four, we got Pixie Aventura from New York. And
yeah, that, I thought that was a bit strange. Not strange, but I just thought, well, if you're in Mexico City, why not make it like based in Mexico, you know?
We were expecting, again, Mexican drag queens or Mexican trans people. We have great, great drag queens here. So it would have been nice. So really, we had no idea what could happen on night five. There were a lot of people saying that Christina Aguilera could happen because she was here in Mexico, not in Mexico City, but in the same country.
Sure.
But the moment that Salma appeared, and not only Salma, but Salma dressed as Frida.
Yes.
That was such an incredible moment. It was gag. Everybody was like, oh my God, she's the perfect guest.
Yeah, yeah.
It makes so much sense. And the people went wild. Salma was having so much fun. I can't believe that she actually had feels inside her bra.
And I saw that she was tipping the dancers.
She was tipping the dancers. So she was really into it. And as I mentioned before, the fact that she would actually organize these Viva Mexico Cabrones with Madonna, that Madonna was game to it. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
Clearly, both of them understood each other, and they had fun together.
Yes, Salma Hayek definitely understood the assignment. That's for sure. Like she, A plus Salma Hayek.
Absolutely. For example, with Wendy Guevara had an issue. She doesn't speak one word of English.
Oh wow, I didn't know that.
Not a single word. Actually, a friend of mine who was right next to the runway, right next to the stairs. When Wendy Guevara was going through there, she actually turned to my friend and said, I don't speak English. So a lot of times you could see when in the videos, you can actually notice how Madonna is giving Wendy some instructions and she was lost. She did a great thing. She was doing her own thing and she was being true to herself, which is amazing. I don't want anything else from anyone than to be true to themselves, but she didn't understand she was supposed to do. Whereas Salma, she aced it. She absolutely aced it. And she was such a great, great guest.
Yeah.
For me, the perfect guest to end the tour. Absolutely. Yeah.
And I mean, who knows what they'll do with the tour film, but I wonder if like what with Madonna did for Rebel
with
Heart.
With Madame X?
Madame X or for Rebel Heart, where they sort of like showed a couple different, you know, with Rebel Heart, they showed a bunch of different unapologetic bitches. With Rebel Heart, Madame X, did they show a couple? I forget on that tour film. I think they showed a couple different.
When she's sitting on the front row having the beer,
yeah.
They did show several different guests.
Yes. I mean, I forgive Madonna for not showing me as either the unapologetic bitch in Rebel Heart or my beer chat with her during Madame X in Philadelphia. It's okay, Madonna.
You definitely have been one of the blessed ones.
Yeah. It would be nice if maybe my moment with Bob the drag queen pops up in an outtake or something. It's okay. I don't.
I think it would be super fun because really of all the different people that Bob chose, at least in Mexico City, for example, they were fun. It was very, very fun. But yours in Austin, it was so much fun.
Well, I was, so I was dressed very appropriate. But no, so I'm wondering if maybe for the tour, we'll see, you know, like Salma Hayek, we'll see Kylie Minogue, you know, like I wonder what they'll give us in terms of like the final tour film, because there's so many different special moments, you know, like will they show Ricky Martin? They'll show, you know, like all the different drag queens, you know what I mean? Like there's so many of them that like, I can't imagine Santa Claus, you know what I mean? Like we've had so many over the course of the tour. I can't imagine that we wouldn't see all of those in just some like quick rapid fire, you know?
I think it would be really, it would be a missed opportunity if we didn't get just like a quick glimpse at all the
Because I mean, yes, that moment where they're doing that runway goes for a good couple minutes, so they can go through a good amount of people in that 2 minutes of time, you know. It's not like it's...
And something that I would really love, it would be if they actually showcased a lot of the drag queens, because finally Vogue, it is about queer community. I really wish that they would really showcase all these queer people, not just celebrities. I think it would be great. I think it would be awesome.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and I mentioned in Kylie Minogue, like I'm assuming they're going to have to put that in. Like that was such at least make it like a DVD extra, you know what I mean? Like tack it on at the end or something that like, oh, so did she sang I Will Survive, correct?
No. None of the nights. She did Express Yourself. All five nights. And clearly, I believe if we're talking film, the film version, it's going to be Rain.
Yes.
Because she did Take a Bow only on night one. And then it was Rain four other dates.
Yeah, when I heard that she was doing Rain, I'm like, oh, that's how she's gonna, which is strange. I mean, maybe Take a Bow will be, again, a DVD extra, you know, because she did Rain, she did Take a Bow, she also did Frozen. So I'm wondering if like we'll get those, who knows? Maybe she'll do, in the tour film, we'll see Kylie Minogue and her singing I Will Survive, and then maybe she'll cut to her singing Express Yourself in Mexico. You know, like there's puzzle pieces that we can sort of insert and move around.
I think the way that the concert moved from Europe to America to Mexico, there is a lot of material that could definitely go into extras.
Yeah.
Like here's Frozen, here's Take a Bow.
Yeah.
Frozen, clearly, it was like, okay, let's give it a try. No, it's not working.
Yeah.
Because she did it, what, two times only?
Yeah, it was not. Yeah, she must have either not been feeling it or, like, I'm always curious as to, like, why she, like, is like, nah, checking it.
Yes, I did go to all of the five shows. I went with my best friend, who is just as a big fan of Madonna as I am, or if not even more. And we were saying, like, narratively, it would have made so much sense for her to do Take a Bow on the final night.
Totally.
It would have made all the sense in the world. She didn't. She decided on Rain. It was beautiful. Love the song. But I probably would have felt devastated by just listening to her saying, the night is over. On the final night of the tour, it would have been beautiful.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, well, let's now put our future thinking headset on. We're now a week away, less than a week away, from her show in Rio. It'll be the official close of the Celebration Tour era. And, well, the live performance of it. There is a rumor, and we always gotta love hypothesizing with rumors. There's a rumor that she's going to be doing three additional songs on the set list than what she's been doing. What do you hope those three songs will be?
Number one, music. Music. Music has to pop up. I just don't get how music didn't make the cut.
I don't either.
And honestly, I would just love for her to extend the ending to really do music and Celebration.
Yep.
I never got how she could not sing Celebration.
I know. It's you named the tour Celebration and you have a song called Celebration and you don't sing the song.
I would love to wish for my personal favorites. I would love for True Blue, for example, or I would really love to listen to Crave, for example.
Oh,
I really
Madam X
Crave.
Deep Cut. There we go.
That would be amazing. She could do Hard Candy. Why not? But really, what I believe could be the best option or the most logical thing, again, in the narrative, at least music and Celebration.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I believe that music was meant to be on the set list and then she chose not to put it on the set list. So I think maybe it was prepared and I think that's a given. Like if she's going to do on what they're advertising as one of the biggest dance floors in the world, I can't imagine that they wouldn't want the visual of Madonna performing music and watching Brazilians on the beach just freaking out, singing along, you know, like.
I think it would be an incredible, incredible moment. And then if Madonna is Madonna and she wants to do her own thing, she would definitely she could say, okay, here's what the one that everybody said I was going to do. Now I'm going to do it. Here's Candy Shop.
Hey, you know me. I would love if she trotted out Candy Shop. I think that I'm like, it would just be such one of those. It would be such a funny moment for her to be like, yes, like here, she's doing three different songs or three additional songs. And people are like, oh, she's going to do this hit, this hit, and this hit. And then she's like, music, Candy Shop. You know, like it would just, because people would just be like, Madonna. But that would be such a Madonna thing to do, which is why I think, you know, she would
and
do
fans
it.
Fans would get it. Fans yeah. would get it. The show is full, so full of only for fans. Moments,
yeah,
that her singing Candy Shop, it would be like a huge win too.
Oh, totally. I mean, I mean, justice for Candy Shop. I mean, if she did that, I would be singing her praises for years. I'd be like, yes, because I'm like, how could she not put Candy Shop on? I get it that it wasn't on Madam X because it would never have fit, but. Like to have, because she just kept putting it on the set list. I was like, why is it on this show? Are you like out of all her songs?
I know.
All her songs. Like, I get it. It was on Sticky and Sweet, sure. But then, like, she brings it on to the next tour and then brings it on to the next tour. And I was like, Madonna, why are you like MDNA, Rebel Heart? I was like, why are we still getting this song on tour? But I love that she did that. And I hope. So, yeah, music, I think that's a no-brainer. I mean, I'm rooting for Candy Shop because I just think. And then fantasy of mine is she's like, I don't know if it would be like a closer or like where she would put it. I mean, to me, I think it would be fun if she did this where she'd be like, you know, we've been celebrating all of my old music, but now we're going to celebrate some new music. And then she like blows it out with a brand new song, maybe the Max Martin song that we all know she worked on. And then that's like song of the summer, you know, like she doesn't even have to perform it because she'll have performed it on that last show. So she doesn't have to do any like promo or, and that's
no,
the video.
That's the video.
That's the video. It's just a live video of her in Brazil. And and then we get some remixes and that just like skyrockets up the charts and it makes us all happy.
A new music would be a dream come true, definitely, because that's what we want. Us fans, we don't want her to get stuck in the past. We want her to move on. We want her to show us that she's not going to stop. She keeps telling us, don't tell me to stop. Here it is. I'm not stopping. Here's the first single of my new album.
Well, hey, you're saying the right things, Juan Carlos. That's exactly, I mean, yeah, exactly. Like, so as the, like, she finishes the song, the tour is over and the credits roll, like, and then we like get the announcement, like she posts on her Instagram, new album dropping tomorrow or something.
Exactly.
Like,
you know,
like, and she's already filmed the video and, you know, like
a Vogue ballroom guest is Katy Perry, and guess what? Here's also the collab that we did.
Well, I don't know if we want the Katy Perry collab. Apparently, there's like people are throwing shade on Katy Perry because that she like posted some picture with like the Elon Musk. Elon Musk sent her a car, and so she posted a picture being like, "Thanks, Elon." And now like Katy Perry is like everyone's trying to cancel Katy Perry because they, people don't like Elon Musk, or I don't know. There's people are trying to cancel then. People all the time. I know. Honestly, if Madonna served up a Katy Perry collaboration, I'd be happy. I don't care about their politics. Like, they're going to do what they're going to do. You know, like, if they gave us a bop that carried me through the summer, fine. You know?
Any new music from Madonna, bring it on.
Yeah, bring it on. Yeah, I'm here to lap it up, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, Juan Carlos, this has been great. I'm so glad we were able to get you on the show. Thank you for, I know.
Please, let me just show you the bootleg merch.
Oh, yes. Oh, please. Yes. Yes. So as we all know, Mexico had a like 2 mile long, like marketplace of various pirated merch around the venue. Yes, please show us are you wearing some pirated merch?
Actually, yes, this is.
I went to New York. I had a dream. I wanted to be a big star. I worked really hard. I don't think that's the full quote, but I worked really hard.
No, it's not the full quote, but just seeing this tank top, I was like, oh my God, this is so... Who got the idea of getting the quote from the Virgin Tour to sell it outside the Celebration Tour? Whomever had the idea, oh God, he's a genius.
Yeah.
And well, that's
artwork by Justin Teodoro. God bless Justin, because his artwork has been pirated nonstop over in Mexico. I gotta love him.
Sure. Then I got this.
It's a picture of Madonna from the True Blue era on the cover of Rolling Stone. Oh, it's that special collector's edition. Oh, yeah, yeah. I have that magazine. And now that's a T-shirt. She looks beautiful. Love the red.
Then another T-shirt that I got. I thought it was so amazing.
This is a T-shirt. Oh, it's sort of like a neon-esque, very like 80s Madonna True Blue, but it's like all like neon colors and sort of like
on the back
the celebration Mexico Madonna.
Mexico tour. Yes. I also got this Justify My Love T-shirt, which is really cool.
So the classic Jean-Baptiste Mondino photo shoot of Madonna looking butch smoking her cigarette with her arms under her. Love that. I love that.
Then I got this cap,
a little red Celebration tour cap. Yep.
Yes, velvety, actually. Oh.
Yeah.
Then I got this.
It's got a bit of a sheen. And now there's a tote bag with different Madonnas from different eras. All very cool. Love that.
Yeah.
Black and white. And I see like Who's That Girl? And Oh, that's beautiful.
Nice. I thought it was really, really cool. And then I got this jacket.
It just keeps going. Oh, there's a Madonna jacket. It's very similar to the bomber jacket, which has like, but this is what Madonna album covers?
All kinds of covers.
Oh, yeah. It's all Madonna album covers from her entire career. Oh, beautiful. It's very well done.
Yes, it's actually really, really well done. So, but the thing is that there were...
And would that probably cost you all like $10?
Most of the T-shirts were 200 pesos, which would amount to like $13.
Wow. The price is right, that's for sure.
Yes. And the jacket, it cost like $25, $30 at the most.
Let's hope that after a couple washes, they still look as good as they do now.
I hope so. And
even if they don't, you spent what, $13 on a T-shirt? Who cares? You know,
it's not that much. And the fun thing, I really wish I had gotten more stuff just to showcase here because it was so much fun. They had these like they created stamps, like religious stamps, with Madonna being a saint, being a virgin, for people to carry in their wallets, for example.
Oh, how cute.
It was so fun. They had these T-shirts that they made comic book covers of Madonna videos, but they were like like as if they were comic books with from Batgirl and from Holiday, that everybody, so much fun.
Yeah.
People in Mexico are so incredibly creative when it comes to creating and designing piracy.
Yeah, God, I know. And apparently it all sold out too. Like people were buying it up.
People were buying and buying and buying it up so much. It was so much fun.
Oh, well, so Brazil has some very high standards. They've got a high bar to meet.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But yeah, the stands, literally, it was all around the venue. The whole venue was completely surrounded by merch stands. And effectively, every 3, 4, or 5 stands, totally different merch.
Wow. That's
so
crazy.
It was amazing.
That's hysterical. Very cool. Well, before we let you go, as you know, there's a little segment on this show we like to call the lightning round. These answers are meant to be quick, off the top of your head, wherever you're at in your Madonna journey. Don't think too hard. Favorite Madonna song?
Erotica, all the way. Erotica was the one that made me discover that I really was who I wanted to be and that it was okay.
Nice.
So Erotica, all the way.
Favorite Madonna album?
I would definitely go right now, probably with American Life.
Oh, okay.
American Life is such an underappreciated gem, but it is a gem, mm-hmm. I believe. Every single song there, that's the one album that I don't skip any songs.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Favorite Madonna remix?
The Beast Within.
Nice. Yeah, that's a good one.
I love.
Were you able to do all the? Were you able to mouth along to the words?
Absolutely.
It's
so much fun because I really have an issue with the church, with Catholicism, and I've always joked that Madonna got me to memorize parts of the Bible.
Yeah,
I can actually quote the Bible.
Yeah, behold the dwelling of God is with men; He shows it with them. As it was going on, I'm like, I can't believe I know I know verses from the Book of Revelations. Like, it's just crazy.
That's the kind of thing that Madonna does. She makes us learn the Bible.
Yeah. Favorite Madonna music video?
Erotica. Erotica, again. I became obsessed with Dita. Mm-hmm. I was so young. I was a teenager when I discovered, and I used to even sign for some time as Dita. I just found it so empowering.
Yeah, I think I was in high school when Dita came out. I think having Madonna do that as a teenager was very, like, I didn't understand what she was doing, and I didn't know how I thought about it because I went to a very Christian school at the time, and like what she was doing was not what we were supposed to be about. And so it was like, there was like, but I loved Madonna. So I was very torn because I'm like, wait, we're not supposed, school's telling me I shouldn't be liking this, but it's Madonna and she's making it look really fun. You know, she's writhing around with all these hot naked guys. How can I hate this?
That's the thing that, I mean, after being confronted with Truth or Dare and with Blonde Ambition, coming to terms with my own sexuality, coming to terms with my being gay, right exactly in the middle of the AIDS crisis, where everything that meant sex was wrong and everything that was about sex meant death. Being confronted to Truth or Dare, being confronted to the Blonde Ambition tour, and then taking it to the next level with Erotica, that's where she had me for the rest of my life.
Yeah. Favorite Madonna tour?
I would love to say, and I when I was coming, I always thought I would say Girly Show, but no, it's Celebration. I have to say, I've never been more confronted with her artistry than with Celebration.
Yeah.
And Blonde Ambition was great. Confession, such a fun tour. Girly Show was the first one I saw. I've had the chance to see her live many, 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 many times. Girly Show was the first time. But Celebration is a testament of her artistry.
Yeah.
Nothing for sure like Celebration. And I do believe that once more, in a few years, Celebration will be studied again just as Blunt Ambition has been, I do believe Celebration is writing a new chapter on how live concerts are made.
For sure. Favorite Madonna movie?
Blunt Ambition. Truth or Dare. Truth or Dare. Definitely, yes. Truth or Dare. I can quote it so much. I have my best friend and I were, when the show ended, it was like, oh my God, it's over. I just hope I'm in a safe place when it happens.
Yeah.
And we can just quote it and quote it every single time I raise a glass. I say to love, glamour.
Favorite Madonna look, and this can be from a video, a tour, a photo shoot.
Like a Virgin, Blunt Ambition tour. Oh, her nice. On the bed in that golden corset. I've always found it the Madonna, the Madonna image.
Are you ponytail or curls?
Oh. Ponytail.
Ponytail. Oh, that's a pillow with cone bra on it. That's hysterical.
I have a friend who is actually a Mexican painter, Melba Vidal, and she actually creates these dolls. So I actually commissioned her to do me several Madonna dolls. And this one is just, I think it's just hilarious.
Yeah, it's the fact that like everything's two-dimensional except for the cone bra. And then it's like, that's a three-dimensional element. That's very funny.
Yeah, I actually also have the
Adita doll. Yeah,
and it is hysterical that actually...
The
shirt,
the mesh,
the
yeah, the mesh,
yes,
the,
it's
the
mesh.
Mesh stockings,
yes. And actually, it won't show in camera.
Is there a gold tooth?
There is a gold tooth.
That's funny.
And I also have
Madame X. Madame X, yes. Got a cha-cha.
Yes, they're so much fun.
That's hysterical. Well, Ron Carlos, thanks for joining us tonight. Tell everyone where they can find you on social, because you've been posting lots of great photos and video.
I'm on Instagram as JCARAUJO, JC Araujo, which is my last name. Mm-hmm. That's where you can find me on Instagram.
Okay, and we will make sure to check our Instagram stories. We will be tagging him. And remember, everybody, you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Threads at MLVC Podcast. If you've not yet donated to the show, we're on Venmo at MLVC Podcast, or smash that super thanks button on YouTube and donate that way. If you've not yet subscribed to our YouTube channel, tick that subscribe button so you never miss a video. We are going live 1 week from today after the Celebration tour in Rio. We are going live immediately following that to do a recap, since we're going to somehow watch it on VPN or some way. I don't quite know how we're doing the viewing party, but we're gonna all watch it and then go live Saturday night after the show, and then we will be doing an in-person review, our final Celebration tour.
Oh, God.
Our final Celebration tour review with an in-person viewer. One of our Brazilian listeners will be seeing the show, and we will be going live on Sunday,
And then it's done.
Then it's done. And I'm not thinking about that yet, but because we still got two more times to talk about it.
Absolutely. And then there will be more.
Exactly.
She's not stopping.
People keep asking me, they're like, oh no, the show, what's going to happen? I'm like, well, we were existing before Celebration Tour. We will exist after. So don't worry, everybody. MLVC Podcast is not going anywhere. We've got stuff planned for the rest of the year, and I'm sure she'll surprise us, and we'll have plenty more to talk about. So
every single time a person that I know has asked me, but this is her final tour. Don't tell her to stop.
Yeah.
Exactly. Everybody said exactly the same thing after Madame X, and she just did the biggest, grandest tour of her career. So don't be so quick to write her off.
Exactly. Ron Carlos, stay where you are. Until next time, everybody, thanks for joining us.